Glory to God. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the word of faith. I'm so excited about what God is doing on this broadcast. You know, testimonies here and there, people talking about how they are tuning in to learn the truth of the word of God. I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited. I'm always excited to be a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm always excited to impart knowledge. I'm always excited to stir up the saints with the truth of the word of God. You know why? Because I know that we live in a world that is constantly assaulting our minds. Every day something is on the news, something is flying around in the space, on the media. And then before you know it, your mind is assaulted as a Christian. Glory to Jesus. If it is not something that is targeted at weakening your faith, it is something that just seeks to provoke you as a Christian, or something that, there's a constant assault on our minds as believers. And the world has a lot of that in the air. So we need to be focused on the word of God. One of the reasons why we have Every Day with Jesus broadcast is so as to help the saints of God, the people of God, to wake up to God's word. Such that the first thing you wake up to in the morning is not Facebook or Twitter, you know, social media generally, but the truth of the word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 1, let's look at this. Psalm 1, glory to Jesus. The book of Psalms, chapter 1, from verse 1. You know where I'm going if you are conversant with your Bible. Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Have you seen? So there's a frequency. He says the man meditates in the law of the Lord day and night, night and day. He dwells in it. Glory to Jesus. He finds his meditation in the word of God. Now, anything you don't start or begin your day with, you are most likely never going to come back to it all through the day. Praise God. Anything you don't start your... I'm talking about spiritual commitment now. If you don't start your day with prayer, with the word of God, you most likely will not come back to it all through the day. Amen. And the logic is simple. The moment you step out of your house, the moment you step out of your comfort zone, you step out of your shelter, and then you get to work, everything at your workplace is not going to encourage prayer. Unless you are very disciplined and self-motivated. Even at that, being self-disciplined enough alone is not enough. Because sometimes you are disciplined, but there's just no chance. There's no space. Praise God. From the time you step into the bus, and then you are not reading your Bible, you are not listening to a sermon, you most likely will never come back to read your Bible or to listen to a message or to pray till the end of the day. And guess what? When you are back on your way from work, when you are back to your house, back to your base, the only thing that will make sense to you will be how to get to eat on time and sleep on time so you can wake up on time to catch the next bus to your workplace. So it is just right, it is just wise to wake up to spiritual commitment every day of your life. And that's one of the major objectives of having Every Day with Jesus. And that's the reason why we keep having Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Hallelujah. And you know, it's been doing the exact thing for many people, you know, in a short while. Glory to Jesus. So we've been studying Every Day with Jesus. We've been studying forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, and we've been studying recently on metaphors for salvation. And our focus in this study is on sanctification. We've seen how sanctification is a very important aspect of the Christian life. How that because we have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus and we've been sanctified by the offering of the body of Christ, God has placed a demand on us to give ourselves and to set ourselves apart to the things he has called us unto himself. Hallelujah. To service. Sanctification deals with God setting us apart unto himself. And then we also saw how this word sanctification was used both for the Savior and the saved. So it is not necessarily about the fact that you were once a sinner, now you are no more a sinner. But then, it's just about anything sanctified. Anyone. And Jesus, while he was yet on the face of the earth, bodily doing ministry, spoke of himself as one that was sanctified and sent into the world. And at that point in time, he was without sin. He hadn't taken upon himself the sin of the world. Because sanctification just means being set apart to God. Glory to Jesus. Being set apart to God. And yesterday we saw how sanctification, as a work of God, is not something that happens after salvation. It happens in our salvation. This is why it's a metaphor for salvation. Praise God. Sanctification is not a second work of grace. Not that after God sanctifies us, we now begin to wait on Him or depend on Him or pray to Him to keep sanctifying us every day. No, God already sanctified us by faith in Christ. He already sanctified us by faith in Christ. We saw Acts 20:32. Bible says, "So then I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in me." So we see that we've already been sanctified in Christ Jesus by virtue of our faith in Him. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:10 says, "By that will," that is the new covenant, "we've been sanctified once and for all by the offering of the body of Christ." So the sanctification is once. We've also been able to debunk scriptures that seem to sound or suggest that sanctification is an ongoing work by the Father or by God Himself. We saw Hebrews 10:14, we saw Hebrews 2:11, and we saw how that modern translations make it seem as though we are being sanctified. But the KJV makes us understand the Bible says we are sanctified. Hallelujah. And this agrees with every other thing the writer of Hebrews spoke about concerning sanctification and what Paul himself also taught concerning sanctification. By the way, I'm just playing safe many times because the writer of Hebrews was not disclosed. It is just safer to say the writer of Hebrews than to say Paul. Though the writing style seems like Paul's writing, but because there's no explicit word on that, we just let it slide and then just say, you know, the writer of Hebrews. As a matter of fact, Paul is not going to be feeling bad. There's no extra badge that will be on his shoulder, or extra reward, because we acknowledge his authorship of Hebrews. So we don't know about it. So generally, the approach adopted by scholars and theologians is just to say writer of Hebrews. Praise God. Now, today, let us see how sanctification and holiness, you know, I told you they are the same things. People have said, though we are sanctified, we are not holy. And that holiness is something we attain unto much after that we have received sanctification. But that's not true. Sanctification and holiness are the same. And don't forget that the word sanctified, agiazo in the Greek, is the word that means to make holy. So, sanctified is the verb. And then, a little correction. Yesterday, we read 1 Corinthians 1:1-2. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And I said yesterday that they are from the same word. That wasn't what I meant to say. I actually found out this when I was re-listening to the broadcast. What I meant to say was that they are closely related words. So, sanctified is from the word agiazo. Saint is from the word agios. So sanctified is the verb. Saint is the adjective. Are you getting the point? Saint is the adjective. So sanctified is the verb, is the act. It is what God did. God sanctified us. We are saints as a result of that act. Have you gotten it? So that's the reason why I said they are closely related words. Glory be to Jesus. So sanctified is the action, and being saints is the result of that action. It's the adjective. It's the description. Praise God. So, and that word sanctified means to make holy. It means to make holy. So the man that is sanctified has become holy in the sight of God. You find out that this is the word translated holy. The word sanctified is the word translated holy at a portion of scripture. Revelation, look at this now. You find book of Revelation, Revelation 22 verse 11. Look at this carefully. The word holy there is the word from the Greek word agiazo, which means sanctify, because they are the same. Hebrews 22 verse 11. Glory to God. Let me quickly read. Bible says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So the word holy there is the word agiazo, which means sanctified. So because they are the same. So there's no such thing as we are sanctified, but then we are trying to attain holiness. One of the problem text is Romans chapter 6. Look at this now. Romans chapter 6. So people see sanctification as something God has done, but holiness as something we should try to achieve. But then holiness and sanctification are the same. Romans chapter 6, look at this now. Glory to Jesus. Let me start from verse 19. Bible says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So people say, have you seen righteousness for holiness? So holiness is the destination. No, holiness is a state already. For when we were slaves of sin, verse 20, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Now, he is not describing a process. It is not saying we were delivered from sin and then we have our fruit to holiness and then after that we now have eternal life. They are all the same. They came at the same time. Hallelujah. So our fruit to holiness, we have our fruit to holiness because we are in holiness. We have our fruit to holiness because we have been called into holiness and we have been called with a holy calling. Glory to Jesus. So it's not a process. Hallelujah. So sanctification itself shows that we have been made holy in the sight of God. That's the essence of that sanctification. We have been declared holy by the work of Christ, by what Jesus did. We have been made holy and sanctified in the sight of God. Glory be to God. Now, look at this. I said that the word sanctified is a verb, and that saints is the result. That's the adjective. That's the result of the action. Now, that word saint is the word agios in the Greek. What does it mean? It means the most holy thing. Hallelujah. Listen. You can't get more holy than you are already. You can't be more holy than you are already. Because the word saint actually means the most holy thing. You can't beat this holiness. You can't improve upon it. Hallelujah. There is nothing you can do. That's why our setting ourselves apart unto God is not in a bid to become more holy. There's no such thing. In fact, in setting ourselves apart to the work of God, to the ministry, it's a result of understanding our holiness, our holy status in Christ. Praise God. So you can't be more holy. There's no such thing as achieving or attaining unto a higher holiness. Someone says, well, there's a basic holiness. There's a foundational thing God has done. He's made us worthy. He's sanctified us, but we must attain unto holiness. No, the word saint actually means the most holy thing. Hallelujah. That's the word agios in the Greek. It is translated saint. It is also the word translated holy in the Bible. Now, the believer is called a saint many more times in the New Testament than is called any other thing. A saint. You have that word over 60 times or 60 times according to some translations. So, the believer is called a saint many more times than you have any other description. Not even the word disciple. Not even the word believer itself. You have the word saint littered the New Testament as a description of every believer in Christ. You are not a saint because of what you have done. You are a saint because of the result of Jesus' sacrifice. You are not a saint because of anything you have done. You are a saint because you are a product of the sanctification that Jesus did. Your sainthood, in quotes, is a result of Jesus' sanctification. Hallelujah. So, and that word saint, like I said, is the word that means the most holy thing. That's the same word translated holy. Hallelujah. That's the same word used for God himself. That is the same word used for angels, holy angels. That is the same word used for the Holy Ghost. When you read Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that's the same word translated holy in those places. And that's the exact word used for the Christian. You know why? Because in the sanctification, we have found union with the Father. Hallelujah. By the work of redemption, the work of salvation, we came into union with the Father. Hallelujah. We came into union. So we are heirs of God. And the idea of being heirs of God means we inherit all that God has. Woo, look at this carefully. See what God told Abraham. We have come into the inheritance of the saints in Christ Jesus. And one of the things we have come to inherit is God's holiness. See Genesis 15 from verse 1. Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. So God said to Abraham, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. That is, I am your inheritance. Hallelujah. So in Christ Jesus, what we have come to inherit is the very essence of God himself. God gave himself to us in Christ. Glory to Jesus. He gave us himself. And how did he give us himself? He gave us his life. So it's absurd to say that, pardon my language, but that's what it is. It's absurd to say that I have the life of God, but I'm trying to attain unto God's holiness. Okay, what's in the life of God? Filthiness? Sin? What exactly is in the life of God if his life is void of his holiness? Because God is holy by nature. Hallelujah. God is holy. In fact, Bible refers to God as the only one who is holy. Praise Jesus. He's the only one who is holy. So the man that shares in the life of God has shared in God's holiness. Revelation 15 verse 4. Bible says, "We shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." So we are not required to attain unto holiness because God is the only one who is holy. Praise God. God is the only one who is holy. That's why the word holy, out of 169 times that you find the word used in the New Testament, God himself takes on that word, takes on that use 111 times because it's exclusive to him. Glory to Jesus. You can't find it elsewhere. That's why the only way to be a partaker of that holiness is to receive it from God. So God does not demand holiness. You know what he does? He shares it. Hallelujah. God doesn't demand holiness. He shares it. And that's exactly what happened in Christ Jesus. So holiness is not something we're trying to attain. For being a partaker of God's life, we are partakers of his holiness. Glory to Jesus. We are partakers of his holiness. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:17. Glory be to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. That's why we have descriptions of believers in the Bible such as this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, "If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So we are called God's holy temple. We are holy in the sight of God. We are holy by default in the sight of God. We have been set apart by the Spirit of God. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 4. We are God's holy people. Hallelujah. We are holy in the sight of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." That we should be holy. So God chose us. And like we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's in his choice of us, we become holy. Hallelujah. God has chosen us to be holy in his sight. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 21. God has chosen us to be holy in his sight. So we are God's holy people. Ephesians 2:21. Bible says, "In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Hallelujah. He calls us the holy temple of God, the holy temple in the Lord, fitted together and growing up as the habitation of God in the Spirit. So we are God's holy people. We are God's holy temple. God dwells within us by his Spirit. So we don't try to make ourselves holy for God. God, for inhabiting us by his Spirit, made us holy. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. We saw this yesterday. Christ already presented us to himself as a holy church. He gave himself for that purpose. Ephesians 5:25. Let's see it again. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." So, the church is set apart unto God. There's no blemish. There's no spot in the church. Hallelujah. Isn't this funny? When you look at the church today, the body of Christ, I'm talking about even the real body of Christ today, you will find deficiencies in the flesh. But you see, "Know we no man after the flesh." Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:16. "Know we no man after the flesh." Verse 17. "Because therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. all things have passed away, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So in Christ Jesus, there's no blemish, there's no spot, there's no stain. We are holy and righteous in the sight of God, holy and blameless in his sight. Only in his sight. Hallelujah. Only in his sight. Men will find fault. Men will see something that is not right with you. Even you yourself will find fault in yourself. Hallelujah. But in the sight of God, we are without blame. We are without reproach. We are irreprovable. Hallelujah. In the sight of God. Glory be to God. Look at this place. Look at this place. Colossians 1:22. Unreprovable. Colossians 1:22. Glory to Jesus. So God has made us holy in Christ Jesus, and we are without blemish and without blame in his sight. Colossians 1:22. Bible says, I'll start from verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Glory to Jesus. Above reproach in his sight. Hallelujah. So God has already presented us holy and without blame in his sight. Glory to Jesus. Above reproach. The KJV says, unreprovable. Glory to Jesus. Unreprovable. Look at the Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. At Colossians 3, 12, we are also called holy and beloved. Bible says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. So Bible refers to us as holy and beloved. So before we endeavor to set ourselves apart unto God, unto his service, unto his will, we must first recognize the fact that God already did that. God set us apart by the sacrifice of Jesus. We are holy in the sight of God. In fact, Bible refers to our hands as holy hands. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8. God refers to our hands as holy hands. So when we come to church or we gather together, or whether you're in your room and then we say, lift up holy hands. You don't say, well, my hands are not really holy. And then we ask you why. You say, you see. Shut it up there and believe the report of God. Hallelujah. Shut it up. Shut that mouth and believe the report of God. Shut that mouth filled with condemnation and guilt, and fill it with thanksgiving to the praise of God. Hallelujah. Fill it with thanksgiving to the praise of God. God already made you holy. Acknowledge this fact. So when we say lift up holy hands, you should lift it up boldly, because your hands are indeed holy. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Glory to Jesus. You never saw that coming. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Hallelujah. Bible says, look at this. I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Without wrath and doubting. So he refers to, he says we should lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Don't doubt it. Lift your hands to God because they are holy hands. Your hands have been clean. Hallelujah. You don't read the book of Psalms and you say, we shall ascend the hill of the Lord. He will have clean hands and things like that. And you are wondering if you really have clean hands. See, we already ascended the hill of God. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We are far beyond the hill. Glory to Jesus. And it's because God has made us holy in his son, Jesus Christ. So we are holy in the sight of God. Our hands are holy. Bible refers to our calling as a holy calling. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Glory to Jesus. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Look at this now. Hallelujah. Bible says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. God has called us with a holy calling. Our calling is holy. Our hands are holy. Our life is holy. We have been set apart unto God, holy unto the Lord. And you see, this was the knowledge that informed how the apostles gave instruction to saints on how they ought to set themselves apart, how they ought to walk in sanctification. Glory to Jesus. For instance, let's consider 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. From verse 1, Bible says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. So he speaks of your sanctification, your setting yourself apart, your sanctification, something you are meant to do. What is it? That you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Now, Paul is saying all this to believers. He says we ought to understand and discern God's will for our sanctification. But you see, he's not disconnecting or isolating this from the facts of our sanctification in Christ. He's not isolating this from the fact that God already made us holy. God already sanctified us in Christ Jesus. So watch what he says next. Verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. God called us in holiness. Hallelujah. God called us in holiness. Verse 8. Therefore, who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. The reason why we are exhorted to walk in sanctification, the reason why we are exhorted to possess our vessels in sanctification and in honor, the reason why we are exhorted to abstain from sexual immorality and discern the will of God concerning sanctification is because God called us in holiness. Hallelujah. Now, this is different from the slant of many preachers today. This is different from the idea of telling people to do something so they can become holy in the sight of God. No, this is telling us to walk in holiness because God made us holy. This is telling us to walk in sanctification because God already called us in holiness. Are you seeing the difference? So, we are not trying to do to become holy. We are doing because we are holy in the sight of God. And you are going to see how this is consistent all through the New Testament. That the saints of God are instructed to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of God because of who God has made them. The saints of God are instructed to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of God. The reason why we're expected to live in a certain way is because of who God made us. God made us in a certain way. Hallelujah. And that's why we're expected to live in a certain way. God made us sanctified. God has made us holy. And because of that, he wants us to walk in sanctification. Glory to Jesus. So, walking in sanctification is not the cause of holiness. Walking in sanctification is not the root of holiness. Walking in sanctification is the fruit of our holiness in Christ. Hallelujah. Because we have been made holy, we can walk in holiness. There are two different things. Now, if you don't understand this, you are going to spend your life trying to please God, trying to attain unto something you already became in Christ. You are going to spend your life trying to reach out to grab what is on the inside already. Glory to Jesus. You are going to spend your life sweating and laboring to obtain that which has been given you freely in Christ Jesus. Glory to Jesus. And you are going to be doing it the wrong way. Because what is meant to produce a lifestyle of sanctification is knowledge. Let me show you the connection in Jesus' life again. You know, Jesus says, I sanctified myself at John 17, verse 19. I sanctified myself for their sakes that they may be sanctified. But Jesus already had an idea or a knowledge of his sanctification. So at John 10:35-36, he had said that the Father sanctified him and sent him into the world. So that means what produced a lifestyle of consecration and sanctification was a knowledge of the fact that God already set him apart for a work. Look at Luke chapter 4. Glory to Jesus. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. What is meant to birth a lifestyle or a work in sanctification is the knowledge of your sanctification in Christ. Knowing that God already called you in holiness. That is what will birth a walk in holiness. If you miss the order, you're going to struggle. Luke 4:18. Glory to Jesus. Look at this now. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Bible says, you know, this is Jesus. Let's even start from verse 16. Bible says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. So before Jesus began his ministry, he understood the fact that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Hallelujah. He knew this fact. It was clear to him. The Spirit of God is upon me. That's different from believers today who are trying to obtain the Spirit. through prayer and fasting, who are trying to get the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. And their text, the text they often run to, is tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, as if they are trying to begin the church all over again. That was an instruction given to men that were waiting for the new covenant to be enacted. And on the day of Pentecost, glory to God, the Holy Ghost was given. The Holy Ghost came down. And from that day, everyone that believes in the gospel does not need to go to Jerusalem or anywhere to tarry to wait for the Holy Ghost. He receives the gift of the Spirit immediately he believes. Everybody that believes in the gospel after the advent of the day of Pentecost is sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise the moment he believes. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Glory to Jesus. So Jesus understood the fact that he had been sanctified, and that was what bettered a consecration unto God. That was what bettered setting himself apart to God, to doing the will of the Father. So knowledge is what is meant to inform this sanctification. Not fear, not guilt, not condemnation, not desperation. Knowledge of the word. Knowledge of what God did in Christ. That because you are being sanctified, you have to set yourself apart unto God. Glory be to God. We're going to continue in the next episode. Too good to tune in tomorrow. It's going to be a great time. Invite your friends, your relatives, your family members. Let's come together again to have a great time in the word of God. And do have a great day being full of the word, full of the Spirit, full of faith, full of prayer, spiritual songs. See you in the next episode. And don't forget to be a blessing to someone. Hallelujah. See you in the next episode.